clock says 7:30.
You want to get going? Yep.
Well, I'd like to call to order this regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Commissioners of the Meridian Development Corporation at 7:30 a.m. on December 11th, 2019. Roll call. Mr. Mueller's not here, is he? No. Commissioner Vlasic?
Here.
Commissioner Basilone?
Here.
Commissioner Beard's not here yet. Commissioner McCarville?
Here.
Commissioner Bevan?
Here.
Commissioner Byrne?
Here.
Commissioner Fitzgerald?
Here.
Counsel Leahy?
Here.
Administrator Squires?
Here.
All right, do we have a motion to confirm the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
So motion by Commissioner McCarville and a second by Commissioner Byrne. Is there any discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Sounded unanimous. Agenda's confirmed. Onto the consent agenda, which includes the minutes of the November 13th, 2019 regular meeting, the November 2019 administrator's report, the September 2019 financials, and the October 2019 financials. Do we have a motion on that one?
Mr. Chair, I'll make the motion that we'll approve the minutes of the November 13th meeting, approval of the November 19th administrator's report, approval of the September financials, and the October 2019 financials.
So a motion by Commissioner Vlasic, a second by Commissioner McCarville. Any discussion? Do we need the, a roll call vote on the financial part of it? Okay. So, let's see here. Commissioner Vlasic?
Aye.
Commissioner Basilone?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville?
Aye.
Commissioner Bevan?
Aye.
Commissioner Byrne?
Aye.
Commissioner Fitzgerald?
Aye.
I'm aye as well. I got everybody, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. My brain's not quite functioning. Onto our fiscal year 2019 audit presentation.
Hi, Kevin.
Please join us.
Thank you, Board of Commissioners. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm Kevin Smith, audit partner of Hyde Bailey. And we performed the audit of the September 30th, 2019 financial statements. And I believe you have a copy of that. The audit went well, so we appreciate CLA and all those who work with them to get us the information provided to us timely. And everyone's response is very timely, so we appreciate that. And we issued an unmodified or a clean opinion again this year. And, you know, the biggest change this year, without going into a lot of detail, as you begin projects and take out debt, and those will be reflected in the financial statements, and you'll see that, you know, as you purchase the land next door or the building next door, and then, you know, start the construction, you'll see that reflected in the financial statements and your capital outlay. And some of that just in and out as you purchase it and sell it. But your property tax, you'll increase a little bit this past year, and expected to increase again next year to a little over $2 million is what the receivable is, you know, for this coming year, 2020. And so that will be reflected, and as you keep your expenses about the same, or if they go up, it will reflect in your fund balance. But as of right now, your fund balance is strong. You have, you know, cash to make some decisions with and do projects with, and, you know, that's obviously the purpose of the organization. Also, you know, from an audit standpoint, we didn't have any adjustments or issues with the amounts that were presented to us. They were in good order. And so, you know, as you go forward, that hopefully helps you as Board of Commissioners, as you're making decisions, that the numbers are accurately reflected. And not only at the end of the year, but, you know, confident with, you know, the reporting that we saw and the processes and the controls in place, that, you know, during the year you have that same accurate information presented to you in the financial statement. So from a, you know, making decisions, that, you know, it's helpful to know that, you know, there were no adjustments from an audit standpoint. Any questions that you may have of me regarding the financial statements, the audit process?
It doesn't look like anybody has any. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
You bet. And actually, minus that it's been 9 years, and it seems like about half that, but, you know, that's kind of how life is, right?
It's been busy.
It goes at that pace.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
You bet, thank you.
We'll see you next year.
Okay.
Thanks for getting out here early.
Oh, you
you bet. For 30 seconds.
All right.
All right, so now we're on to the approval of the audited corresponding resolution 19-051. Council Leahy, would you mind reading the title of the resolution, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is resolution 19-051. Resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, accepting and approving the 2019 annual audit report for the Meridian Development Corporation, authorizing and directing the administrator to take all necessary action required regarding the annual audit report, and providing an effective date.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Blassie.
I'll make a motion that we approve resolution number 19-051 as presented by council.
Second.
That one, Rob. So a motion by Commissioner Vlasic, seconded by Commissioner Carville. Any discussion? We'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Vlasic.
Aye.
Commissioner Vassalon.
Aye.
Commissioner Carville.
Aye.
Commissioner Bevan.
Aye.
Commissioner Burnt.
Aye.
Commissioner Fitzgerald.
Aye.
I am aye as well. Resolution passes. Good for another year. And we got it all turned in on
the registry. We're on the registry, and I'll give the final update for the registry, but we made our deadline of December 1, and then we'll submit it to the clerk's office as well.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. All right, on to the next one. I won't read the whole. Go ahead, Todd.
I'm going to punt to Todd on this
okay,
one.
Okay, I'll take this one, and Bill's here as well. Mr. Chairman, we won't be executing the development agreement today. We're about as close as you can get. We're almost there. As myself and Bill's attorney, we're working on it. We're getting it all finalized, and then realized that they haven't closed on the property yet. And so the agreement itself has some binding obligations on the property owner as far as complying with the plan and consent to build the public improvements. So as we discussed it further, and again, Bill can kind of give you an idea on this if you have any questions or he wants to add anything as far as timing. What our thought was to get the development agreement amongst the attorneys and staff and things as close as you can get it, so it's ready to be presented when we're ready to move forward. And I'll go over some of the high points in the agreement itself. And then explore some potential options. We could look at some of the improvements that are not tied specifically to the property, make some of those off-site improvements that Bill may be doing with his company as part of the development. We could also look at some form of consent or participation by UP to the extent that they authorize the signature of the development agreement and the obligation on the property. We can also look at doing some of the things that we were anticipating doing anyway as far as building demo and other things that as part of this we were talking about maybe letting Bill do with his company as part of the development, and maybe splitting those back out, which would reduce the amount of the development agreement. But that's kind of where we are. I'll hit some of the high points and then be happy to answer any questions or let Bill add anything to it. So you have your agreement separate from the state, the kind of clipped packet. And like I said, I'll just hit some of the high points. On page 6, we have the provisions where we're entering into this agreement because it's Bill's company and he's involved, and so we're relying on his expertise and experience. And then this gives us the opportunity to review any change to control of the company and approve that, but we added some language that approval wouldn't be unreasonably withheld if there was some change in the structure or management or control of that entity. And then on page 9, we built in the amount of $750,000 as the amount not to exceed for the reimbursable public improvements. And again, that number could be reworked a little bit if we end up doing some of it and splitting that up That is still a reimbursement, and it's for those reimbursable public improvements. The cost, the actual cost may be less, but it's a not to exceed amount. Page 12, we built in this, we haven't got the attachments done. That's part of what we're still working on as far as the scope and schedule. And again, that may be adjusted a little bit. But if there's any delay more than 30 days in that scope or schedule, then MDC would have enough, would be required to approve that delay beyond what's projected in the agreement. But again, that approval would not be unreasonably withheld, conditioned, or delayed. On page 13, simplified some of the indemnification provisions, but it was really more just a simplification and a consolidation. We still always want to make sure that MDC is fully indemnified and protected. We're just giving you funds, company or Bill or whoever, to do these things, but you're going to protect us from any liability related to the construction of those funds whatsoever. Then on to page 23, we simplified the termination provisions a little bit, just to basically say it's a, if either side defaults, then you have the ability to terminate. Bill's attorney wanted to add some language about subordination to a mortgage, and that paragraph is there. I was a little concerned about a mortgage company coming in the last couple of sentences that are still there. They agreed to remove, where if a mortgage company came in and foreclosed on the property, that they wouldn't be subject to this agreement. We took those provisions out. If a mortgage company was to come in and foreclose on the property, this agreement would still be subordinate to that as far as who would take over and whatnot, but this agreement would still need to be applicable as far as anything that may be improved or compliance with our plan, those kind of things. And on page 34, this is the scope and schedule. As I said, we're still working on that. We have kind of a broader scope and schedule that's been provided, but I think it covers, looked at it yesterday, it covers a little bit more than maybe what we had narrowed it down to. But again, that's part of the tightening up process that we'll have as we get this ready. So that's kind of the agreement. I'm happy to answer any questions. As I said, our plan is to get it essentially ready and teed up when we're ready to move forward. So that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Board members have any questions?
Mr. Chair, Todd, there was another amount I thought I saw, like 37.5, that didn't have a cap on it.
Yes.
It was a reimbursable amount for permits and financing. I guess my question on that was, should there be a cap on that because of not understanding what, I mean, are they financing $100 million and are we paying those finance fees on the entire project, or is it just for the improvements, or?
Let's see. This is on page 34, and I thank you for mentioning that. I needed to mention that. So I kind of put in there before, I'm not sure we've paid for financing costs for others in the past, but it's kind of been a, we wanted to talk about that more on a case-by-case basis. And they asked to insert, let me see, it's that second paragraph up from the bottom. If they elect to finance any of the costs of the reimbursable public improvements, provide that any such costs exceeding $37,500 shall not be eligible for reimbursement. So that is, it's a cap essentially, but it is for those financing costs. If they're financing any of the public improvements, then the most they could be reimbursed would be $37,500. So again, that's kind of up to you. We have covered financing costs, for example, on the old Civic Block, or the old City Hall project to a certain extent. And that number and that coverage is kind of up to you. But we did, I'm okay inserting that, but it's your call.
And that falls with under the not to exceed $750,000, correct? It's not in addition to.
I anticipate that as I was thinking about that, that would be on top of the reimbursable public improvements. So we could incorporate that into the 750 if you wanted. I was looking at the 750 more as actual costs for construction, for reimbursement when they're turning in receipts and those kind of things. But again, you have the ability to kind of decide whether to cover financing costs or not, and to include it in the 750 if you want to.
Not to negotiate against ourselves, but we've thought of it as inclusive of, so.
Okay.
Within the 750.
So that answers that question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for Todd on this? So do you need any?
Don't need any action today. Just giving you an update essentially.
Okay. Well, look forward to continued progress on it, and I'll also just say that I think from our board's perspective, it'd be nice if we kind of under promise and over deliver on the schedule and scope and everything.
Sure.
we got a little harbor from the old City Hall project, the delays that have occurred there, and so yeah. It'd be nice to not have to deal with those again on this project.
Well, Bill knows out. He'll hear from me.
Just as a quick update, we are submitted on conditional use permit for the height variance request.
Okay.
And we just got the traffic impact study back last night, the draft. So we'll brush it up and then submit that. So we should be much further along in the process to be able to consider the real development of the real estate with that in mind. UP's playing ball with us right now. They haven't raised any significant issues on our request regarding the purchase contract or anything like that, and we're compliant with that. Phase one also came in yesterday, the final phase one that UP has approved. Everything's clean. We've already remediated all the barrels that were on site, so all the unidentified stuff was categorized and removed. So it's really just asbestos abatement, lead abatement, and scrape the buildings. So.
Nice. Do you have an anticipated closing date?
We're still going through the underlying air issue with them. Not sure, but definitely in the spring. I mean, we're lining everything up for, call it a 4/15 start date. We'd love for it to be in March, but we're teeing everybody up for. When I say start date, the demo can go whenever, and we're looking at the demo as a sort of wipe the visual palette sort of approach to it. But from a construction standpoint, we wouldn't be through. We still need the conditional use permit approval. So as soon as we have that, we're designing the buildings, assuming that we hopefully will get that. And if so, then we'll have everything ready for about that construction start time.
In light of, and I appreciate a couple of the comments in the article, that we need a parking plan. It's, and it's a conversation for later too on how Natalie can work.
We actually have a meeting after our 9 o'clock meeting with Bill, with Cameron, Shandy, Natalie, and myself to determine who takes what talking points, because MDC obviously doesn't have control over code and parking and that sort of thing, but to be able to figure out how we conquer and divide when we get those questions.
Well, we definitely can't have someone quoted as, I don't know how many parking lots are downtown. But thank you, Lindsay, for your comments.
Yes.
Great article.
No.
We do have the parking study also coming mm-hmm. that will lend support to, this plan. So they're a verifiable third party good company, so hopefully it helps.
Unfortunately, I made the mistake of reading the comments.
Don't read the comments.
Don't read the comments. There's nothing good that comes from that.
Now I gotta go read them.
No. I sent it to you.
I know.
We're asking for 100 feet to, including parapet height. That's the conditional
many total floors is that?
Seth, it's a five residential over two apartment. And retail on the first floor.
Yeah. More questions? Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, on to the legislative services. Scott, you want to join us?
Why do you want to continue to do this? Sanity.
Sounds about right. That's not the one that puts my name on the ballot, though, so.
Job security.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I asked Scott to put together this request or the scope of work for this particular meeting, as we are continuing to ask him to do some work this month, and so it would be starting in December versus January, mostly because we're asking him to be a part of the conversation as we are talking about the de-annexation and the potential establishment of a new urban renewal district. We feel like his professional counsel is very important as we start these discussions. So I just wanted to make that point that this is not starting in January. This would be starting this month, retroactive to December 1st.
Do we need any more further explanation, or anybody have any questions, or do we want to go right in?
Up to you guys. I think we know what we're up against.
Yeah. Well, Council Lady, would you please?
Sure. Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, this is Resolution 19-052. It's a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, approving the 2019-2020 Task Order Agreement for legislative services for the 2020 legislative session under the professional services agreement between the Meridian Development Corporation and Primus NG, authorizing execution of the task order agreement by the chairman or vice chairman and secretary, authorizing any technical changes to the task order agreement, authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the task order agreement, and providing an effective date. For the record, Commissioner Greer joined us about 7:38, so how was your vote? But it's getting close.
So close.
So Scotty, I spoke with Council Lakey a little bit about this recently. Any concerns about the de-annexation, you know, with the legislature stuff? Do you cut wind up or anything?
At this point, Mr. Chairman, given the timing on how things will roll out, I wouldn't anticipate I don't anticipate issues arising during the session based on the timing of how this will roll out in the city. So I think you're in a good window, but you know, it's always open for, I guess, some input depending on how things move. But yeah, at this point, I don't see. In fact, I see how this is unfolding as very positive. In fact, it's taking advantage of some reform that we've made in years past under some previous legislation that NDC was directly spearheading to do, you know, what we call the right thing with respect to how you handle these situations. see this as all positive. I see this as how it's intended to work.
We're not gonna be the poster child.
We like that. We don't like to be the leader.
That's right.
Don't get too excited.
Always make a poster.
Thanks, Scott.
Be on a billboard or something.
All right, on to item number nine, the community development block $3 for East Third Street sidewalk project.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, as you may recall, for this program year, we were awarded $180,000 from the city council for the East Third Street project, and that was improvements along the pro-build side of East Third Street, so that eastern portion from Broadway to the rail line. With Bill's project, Galena's project, they have offered to take care of doing all of those improvements at once, contingent on the fact, and this will be part of the development agreement, that we put in the $170,000 match that we were planning on putting into that project, into the development agreement. So it just makes sense that we would just allow them to be able to move forward with that project, and allow the city to be able to reallocate that $180,000 to organizations that really could use it. So we just need a formal vote on that, and that way I can send a letter to Crystal, the CDBG administrator, and that way she can go through her process to do that reallocation. But we wanted, if there's any concerns, please voice those, but it just seems like this would be the best case scenario given we have a willing development partner.
Have you talked with Crystal about that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner DeBeard, we've spoken since July, just kind of knowing that this might be an opportunity should the project move forward. And given how far we are into this process now, we feel comfortable being able to say, yes, we can give those dollars back and the project will move forward.
So you just need a motion?
Yes.
From us to send those dollars. Anyone care to make a motion to that effect?
I can do that, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Redmond.
I move that we approve to rescind the program year 2019 community development block grant dollars for the East Third Street sidewalk project.
So motion by Commissioner Redmond and a second by Commissioner Fitzgerald. Is there any discussion? Match dollar amount. $170,000 on there, actually.
No. Not for this specifically.
Okay. So we'll do roll call vote. Commissioner Blassie?
Aye.
Commissioner Bassel?
Aye.
Commissioner Beard?
Aye.
Commissioner McCurdle?
Aye.
Commissioner Bevan?
Aye.
Commissioner Byrne?
Aye.
Commissioner Fitzgerald?
Aye.
Aye as well. Those dollars would be good to use also.
Yes.
All right, on to the owner participation agreement between A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Right. Well, not quite P, U, Q yet. But this is, we've had it on the agenda a couple of times, kind of in the anticipation that it's going to be ready. This is kind of on them, but this is the Retail West property over there on your side of the tracks. Again, just a reminder, we've got the parking side of it done. This is just for the public improvements, the sidewalk and things on the streetscape. And last time we talked, as I mentioned, we were kind of telling Retail West enough changes. We weren't willing to modify the indemnification provision. Retail West ultimately conceded and said that they were agreeable to not changing that provision. So I think the body of the agreement is intact and ready to go. We are just waiting on the exhibits from them, which would describe the reimbursable public improvements, the estimated cost, and the schedule. I let them know back first part of the month when we had come to the understanding of the agreement itself when the timing was for this meeting, and haven't received those yet. But as soon as we do, we'll plug those in and get it on the next agenda. Otherwise, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Hopefully by our first meeting in January.
I anticipate we should be. I was Thinking it might be ready by now, but maybe it just wasn't quite ready to be able to be put together.
Were they aware that we aren't having a second meeting this month?
I think I did tell them we're only having one in December.
Okay. Board members have questions on that? Yeah. Onto the discussion items, the 10-mile update.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, in your packets is an update from Brighton Corporation on 10-mile crossing and 10-mile creek. I assume you have read through most of this. I think just the point that I wanted to make sure that you all knew that was coming, they have acquired a little over 70 acres from an adjacent property owner, and they are going to be making a request of this board to include that into their owner participation agreement. So we should plan on seeing that sometime in 2020. In addition, we'll need to amend the OPA anyway because they've had some additional land use entitlements and final plats that have been approved since we last modified. So we just need to update for that purpose as well. Obviously, you can see from their update and from the pictures, they've been very, very active and there's a lot of work going on out there. If you have any questions, please let me know. I'm happy to get those answered if I cannot answer them for you.
Onto the Old Town Lot.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, as you can see, there is activity. Yay! Yeah, dirt is moving. So in your packets, I've included the weekly updates that I'm getting from the site superintendent. The other notable item that will be put on your calendars is that we are going to have, similar to what we did with the split corridor project, we're going to have monthly meetings with the general contractor and the development team here at City Hall. We just narrowed that date down yesterday. It's going to be the fourth Thursday of every month at 2:00 in this room. And that gives an opportunity for the stakeholders and any other interested parties to be able to come and answer questions, get questions answered and ask questions and voice concerns. And as other projects similar to Galena's maybe would be moving forward, maybe we include them into that as well too. And it's just a downtown development monthly meeting and it gives us the opportunity to be able to engage with those stakeholders and understand where their concerns may lie. I have not heard that.
Yeah. So I believe they specific company switched out project managers. We're not going to be getting requests at the 11th hour to have things happen. So I think they're going to be a little more than that.
They did receive a few phone calls from me. I'm momming everybody right now is what that's what's happening.
Yeah, help from the city.
Yes, that's true.
All right, 7:00.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, in your packet are the meeting notes that we've had. So Todd and myself, along with city representatives and developer representatives, are meeting on Wednesdays every week to talk about the project and make sure that we're staying on task. In fact, today our meeting includes Phil Cushlan, who is pursuing the deannexation and the feasibility study for the new urban renewal district. So we've asked Scott to sit in on that meeting as well too, again, just to be able to advise us as to, I think there's potentially some other properties that they're considering adding into this, and just to be able to make sure we have that legislative input as well too, and make sure we stay on the straight and narrow and not be the poster child. But I'll include these meeting notes in your packets moving forward, and that way you can see what we're discussing and where things lie. If you have any questions, please let me know. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, last page of your packet are the upcoming committee meetings and other meetings in the area. Please note that the general MDBA meeting, if you're planning on attending, is at the Treasure Valley Children's Theater this month, and I put that address down for you. We do not have our second board meeting this month, and as I mentioned, I will start adding on those monthly meetings for the Old City Hall block development as well.
Nothing further.
Nothing further, thank you.
I was just gonna ask, what's the latest on auditorium fixture?
That's a really great question, Mr. Chairman. I do not have an update from Jeffrey Hall as to where things stand. I think it probably is a little bit of a standstill while they're doing their search for a new CEO. I'm hoping at the January meeting of the REAT group that we can get an update.
Ashley, the new sidewalk on Carlton looks great. What's our next step up there?
We are still working on that. We have had some drainage issues with a couple of the property owners, so we've been dealing with those. We also will probably have a request from Coal Valley Christian to cost share. There is a tree on Carlton that, with the construction, I think that cut through some of the roots because they extended into that right away. To be able to cost share the removal of that tree. I asked for a proposal for the next meeting. Initially, they were gonna ask us to fully fund that. However, my understanding from the arborist from the city is that the tree was not in the best of health to begin with. And we all agreed upon the design when we stood out there and said, you know, this is going to be in the public right away. And they said, you need to do what you need to do. So. I've asked for that request, so that'll come to the January meeting, but the project should wrap up in the next week.
And that was block grant dollars that was used.
Those are dollars that the city had allocated elsewhere, and that project fell through, and then they came to us and asked us to move forward.
Now, I was just thinking,
we were an alternative.
The rescinding of that, in that motion where we rescinded the block grant for Third Street, does that free up money to be used for other projects?
I believe so, yes. I hope so.
All right, Chairman's report. All I have to say is this is our last meeting of 2019. Wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Been a year of some big, exciting changes for MDC and for people personally that have new jobs or new positions or changing positions. And wish everybody luck in their new endeavors.
The good news is some things won't be changing with
correct.
Those people though.
Correct.
They'll still get to see with us, play with us.
So yeah, I guess we'll see everybody next year as far as this.
And Commissioner Mueller wanted me to extend holiday wishes to everybody. He is hanging 10 on the Mexico coast right now, celebrating his birthday.
Any public comment? No? If not, do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Sure. I'll move that we adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
You beat you to it. So motion by Commissioner.